This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Newell will be back next week. I'm Dave Cohen. Glad to be with you the rest of this week here on the Newell Norman Show. I'm tired of being lied to. I'm tired of being misled. I'm tired of people telling me something, then coming back later and telling me something completely different and acting like it's okay. I don't get it. The power outages that we went through, the mandatory turn off the power now order that came down the day before Memorial Day, we have now received yet another alleged explanation of what happened and why suddenly Entergy and Clico had to turn off power to 100,000 customers. At yesterday's New Orleans City Council meeting, MISO came up with a whole new explanation that we had never heard before. To help us understand maybe what's really going on, what's true and what's not, we asked Public Service Commissioner Devante Lewis to join us. Good morning, Commissioner Lewis.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. I'm begging you to tell me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, as best as you know it anyway, because I'm baffled by all this. I'm confused. At first, we were told, MISO told Entergy and Clico to shut off the power because we were using too much of it. We had our air conditioners going. It was the first real hot day. The heat index was 105, and there just wasn't enough electricity. Well, then we later were told, no. It's because two nuclear power plants were offline, one for maintenance and the other had tripped offline. But then when we questioned, wait a minute, no, one was down for maintenance, but the other had been offline for several days, and MISO should have and would have known that. Then they come to the meeting yesterday and say, oh, well, there was a tornado that knocked down a transmission line. That's why you had to shut off the power. What really happened, and why do we keep getting different explanations?
Well, I will tell you, we're not necessarily giving different explanations, but this is a very complex scenario of what happened. So all three scenarios that you just outlined are actual, factual, and true of what happened, why power was shut off last Sunday. But what I would tell you, the real takeaway that I think everyone should listen to was the fact that Louisiana has not built significant transmission for what we call a load pocket. And so a load pocket is just basically an area where there's high energy demand, but very few opportunities to either generate power or transmit power in there if that demand gets higher. And so what we heard yesterday was a combination of factors led to Sunday, that we were seeing higher usage than normal. We were seeing higher temperatures. We had generators offline. About 70% of the generators in South Louisiana were not operational on Sunday. And then we have a transmission line that could have provided some extra generation that has been out since March, was supposed to already be online, but because of supply chain issues, the construction hadn't completed. And that kind of mix of ingredients is what caused it. But like I said, the biggest takeaway is the one preventable thing, no matter if you fix each one of those individual items, would have been had Louisiana and primarily Entergy built more transmission lines, as in Baston, for the last 15 years, it could have prevented all of this because power was extremely cheap in Mississippi. It was running at a negative price market, which means we would have saved significant dollars if we would have been able to flow that power from our neighboring state of Mississippi. And so we got some answers, but it also tells us about some complicated history that we have to undo to make sure this never happens again. But
didn't MISO know that there was a transmission line down? Didn't MISO know that there were two nuclear power plants offline? Didn't MISO know that it was going to be hot that day? And shouldn't there have been some kind of very clear public communication telling users, hey, it's going to be hot and you're going to want to turn your electricity down. I mean, your air conditioning down to make it cold because it's hot outside. But we got a major transmission line down. We got two power plants offline. And if you use too much electricity, we're going to have to shut it off. Rather than an emergency call from MISO to Entergy and CLECO giving them 5 minutes to suddenly turn off 100,000 customers with no warning or effort to conserve or anything else.
Well, let's unpack this, because that 5 minute actually is a distraction and a distortion that I think the utility companies are saying. So what happened, and let me try to not be too technical. There are multiple scenarios running through the grid throughout the day and every day. So there's multiple scenario planning. They're looking at the markets. They're looking at it. Were there some constraints? Yes, but the constraints were on the capacity side, which is where we don't have enough generation. What we experienced on Sunday was not a capacity shortfall. It was a transmission overload where the transmission systems no longer had enough, voltage to handle pushing through the power that was needed to not blow that transmission line up. And if that line would have blown, that means power outages for months. And so what happened is if a transmission system, the NERC, which is a national federally regulated entity, says you have 30 minutes once you identify that you may have a transmission system to come up with a plan. MISO then took 21 minutes of that 30 minutes to try to figure out a scenario, which left 9 minutes. Then they communicated to the utility company at their transmission operator. So for Entergy, this was their station either in Little Rock or Jackson, that you have a plan. And then the utility company then has 30 minutes to enact that. So the timeline is condensed, but I don't want us to only focus on MISO, because Entergy and CLECO had 30 minutes to give us notice. They chose not to because they didn't have this adequate load shedding plan to enact a transmission level load shed, which we have not experienced. And MISO has only experienced one time in Illinois during Winter Storm Uri. And so while there were some things, I think there's a lot of questions that still have to be unpacked, because this is a very convoluted process. Communication between MISO, Entergy, and then the consumers all failed. And I agree, MISO has to do a better job of telling us and planning about this, but I can't let the utilities off the hook for some of their failure to communicate. And we saw that. They didn't even talk to us as regulators. I found out that there was a load shed from a constituent, not from my utility company that I regulate. And that's the problem.
Has there been any commitment that you believe from MISO, from Entergy, from CLECO, that if this happens again, and now we know one of the two nuclear power plants is back online, the transmission line is not, the other power plant is still in the process of doing the maintenance, of switching out the fuel rods to get it back up and running, but if this does happen again, do you have any reasonable expectation that the day before, the hours before, that anybody will communicate to you so you can communicate to us, or will communicate directly with consumers to say, hey, we don't have the capacity right now to provide all the electricity you're going to need. So y'all better conserve, because if you don't, we're going to have to turn people's power off.
Yes and no. I will tell you on the capacity side, yes. If we had a capacity shortfall, there's protocols. There's about a 48-hour timeline. Like I keep saying, this one was different because this wasn't we lacked power. There was power in the market. There was power in the region. What we lacked was the ability to get power to South Louisiana when we needed it.
No, and I get that. Regardless of why we didn't have enough power right here, we did not have the lack of transmission meant they could not provide the power we needed at the rate we were using it at that time.
And what I was saying is the transmission system is harder to predict an overload because it is about the way the power flows. And so what I'm trying to convey is they have to do better at the communication. There was a bunch of communication failure. The transmission system will not give us nothing but an hour to 30 minutes notice because it's about the voltage coming through the line, and you want to protect that line from blowing up. So I wanted to be clear that, yes, they need to be better communicating. There was clear failures on how this process works, but I just wanted to differentiate that it's going to be very hard to get a 48-hour notice on the transmission side because the transmission system is just about how that flow of capacity is happening. And so I completely agree with you, and those are the questions that I'm going to ask in our June meeting. I tried to not get too technical for the council because I don't regulate Entergy New Orleans, but Entergy New Orleans doesn't own significant transmission. Majority of the transmission that is serving Entergy New Orleans customers are owned by Entergy Louisiana, who are not a participant in this hearing, but will be a participant in the commission's June 18th meeting, where then I can better ask those questions and get answers from that entity. And so that's the hardship of Entergy owning multiple companies and having two different regulators, with some questions are meant for one and some questions are meant for the other. So I haven't had the opportunity to get answers to those questions just yet.
So 2 weeks from today, you and your colleagues on the Public Service Commission will have that opportunity to address Entergy Louisiana and MISO at that meeting.
Correct.
I understand what you're telling us about the transmission issues, but to tell me that they'll only have 1 hour's notice when a problem like this exists again is hard to stomach as a consumer. Because if you're telling me there's just no way they can predict when these transmission issues are going to become a problem, if there's no way for them to plan for this, and how do you hold them accountable? How do you require communication? How do we as consumers say, oh, so at any time, Entergy, Clico, our power providers could get a 1 hour's notice, and then they've got to shut our power off, and hopefully they have time to warn us beforehand?
No, absolutely. What I'm telling you is this is the lack of planning over years because we don't have the investments in transmission. This is why I'm saying we have to hold them accountable to say, why aren't you making investments in transmission? Because had we had ample transmission, even with the congestion, we would have been able to pull that power from Alabama, from Mississippi, from the northern states. And so that 1 hour notice wouldn't matter and we wouldn't see customers shut off. MISO agreed and Entergy gave it a thing. Had we done the adequate transmission planning and processes that we've been talking about for the last 10 years, this wouldn't have happened. So my point is more around we have to hold them to actually do these investments so this doesn't happen, rather than talking solely about the communication, which was a failure, but it was a failure because we didn't have the infrastructure to do what we needed to do.
We're talking with Devante Lewis, Public Service Commissioner, about the meeting they're going to have in 2 weeks after the meeting the New Orleans City Council had yesterday. When we come back, I'm going to ask him, okay, if the problem is that the power providers have not invested enough in transmission so that we don't have problems like this, can the Public Service Commission mandate or pressure them into investing more in transmission? And if that's the real problem, okay, how long will it take to improve the transmission system so that we're not facing this problem again? If the transmission system is inferior, if the transmission system is inadequate, how long will it take to address that? And in that time that it takes to address that, will we have to deal with this again? Because for the foreseeable future, we, as I'm hearing it, have inadequate transmission. So does that mean more mandatory blackouts are coming? We'll ask Devante Lewis after this. You can ask questions as well, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Let me know what you think, and I'll pass along your questions. You can call, and we'll let you get on the air with them, too, or you can text them to me here on
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
BWL. Thank you, Coleman and Master Control. We did not have the power a week ago Sunday when MISO ordered Entergy and Clico to shut it off, and we keep learning little tidbits more of what went into that decision, as it seems like information is still being not fully shared with the public, and every time there's a meeting or a release, we learn a little bit more about what was happening. Devontae Lewis is a public service commissioner for the state of Louisiana and is on the live line with us, and he says one of the major problems was a lack of ability for us to get power and much cheaper power from other parts of the country, as close as neighboring Mississippi and as far away as Michigan, where it was available but couldn't get here because, he says, the power providers have not invested enough in upgrading the transmission system. Commissioner Lewis, what is it going to take to get the companies to solve that problem that you have identified? Can you force Entergy, Clico, to increase their transmission capabilities?
Absolutely. And so this is what I want to pull back for a second. So MISO is a planner and a facilitator, but they cannot direct a utility to build more generation or build more transmission. So you may hear MISO say, hey, we're like an air traffic control. And what they mean is they are not Delta. They're not denying it. They're not the ones making the decision of the flight routes, but they're ensuring that a United flight and a Delta flight doesn't hit each other. And so what they mean by that is that we're going to make sure that if you're bringing a generator on our transmission, you're connecting in a way not to blow up the entire system. Now, that doesn't stop power outages, but that means it's the requirement of regulators, the New Orleans City Council and the Louisiana Public Service Commission, to really be hard on them. And this is the reason I'm so passionate about transmission is because I have been screaming about this since I got elected. We require the utilities to do what we call an integrated resource plan, where you tell us, like, what are you planning for the next 15 years that you can see to ensure that they're not brownouts and blackouts. And we require transmission planning. And CLECO and Entergy's IRP, neither one of them put any transmission planning in that document. And I was the only commissioner that voted no, specifically citing, saying, if you don't talk about transmission, you are setting us up for failure. And so the real answer is we have as regulators has to be harder on looking at the abilities of what transmission means, because what it means is So, yes, we may build a nuclear facility or a gas generator or solar, whatever we may build here in Louisiana. If they go down, we need the ability to get power from somewhere else. And that's what happened. Even though we knew water for free was down and that River Bend had gone down earlier in the week, I want everybody to understand is 70% of the generation in southern Louisiana was offline on Sunday when the power was shut, which meant when we lost all of our ability to produce our own power, we had nowhere to transmit it and bring it back in. And so that's something that the commission has to say. We can't just talk about building more power plants, regardless of the type of power plant. We got to make sure that we have options if those power plants go down for maintenance or unexpectedly go down. And that's where we made a significant mistake as regulators, is not looking at the totality of our system to ensure something like this doesn't happen.
Okay.
Like I said, MISO has fault, but MISO's job is just to say, you are going to crash the system if you don't do something right now.
So we know the problem. At least you seem to think you know the problem. And you've been screaming about this problem ever since you got elected. Is it falling on deaf ears? Why haven't you been able to fix this problem if you knew that this problem existed? And now, what is a timetable for fixing it if you can fix it now?
Well, part of the problem is we're only allowing transmission planning, or we're letting the utilities decide when they believe transmission upgrades should be. Now, you're going to hear Entergy, and you heard them yesterday. We're going to say, well, we just proposed some new transmission lines. That's absolutely factual. And will those new transmission lines help us? Yes. But those transmission lines are not being proposed because of the capacity pocket that we sit in. They're being proposed because of Meta, because of the Hyundai dealership that is coming in Donaldsonville, because of the new industrial loads. And so the commission, we have to say, wait a minute, no. You're not just going to propose transmission when you have a new project. You need to propose transmission to ensure that the grid is protected and in the best interest. And part of the reason, to be honest, the utility may not want to do that is because the more transmission lines you have that can connect you to cheaper power that may exist elsewhere or be owned by an independent operator means the utility can't build that generator and rate base it.
So Entergy and CLECO will lose money if they build new transmission lines to bring cheaper fuel, cheaper electricity produced out of the market than if they produce it themselves.
Right, because that means they would go into what we call a purchase power agreement, where they're just buying that capacity from the owner of that generator, rather than them being the owner of the generator. And so that's why they've been resistant to long-range transmission planning, because that means when they propose a generator, I'm going to look in the market and say, well, if you're building a generator for 500 megawatts, but I'm looking and this independent generator in Mississippi is selling 500 megawatts and it's twice cheaper the cost than you're proposing to build it, you should go buy it over there instead of building it yourself. And that creates a disincentive for the utilities in the way that they make their money.
All right, so we understand the problem. How do we fix it? Can you fix it? Can you get your colleagues? It sounds like you're blaming, and correct me if I'm wrong, your colleagues on the Public Service Commission. If you've been screaming about this problem, you knew this was a problem, but the commission as a whole has not forced Entergy and CLECO to build this additional transmission capacity, that you're not getting support from the other members of the council?
This has been the position. I've talked about it. I've said we need to do this. And I don't think some of my colleagues have tweeted that, and the utilities have said they don't think that's necessarily a problem, and some of them have followed the utility decision over mine and other advocates who work in this system, and even over MISO, right? MISO North has built significant transmission because those states have come together and said, let's interconnect ourselves. MISO South hasn't. And when we talk about MISO South, I want everybody to remember, the majority of MISO South is Entergy. It's Entergy Texas. It's Entergy Mississippi. It's Entergy Louisiana. It's Entergy New Orleans. So if we're not holding Entergy accountable, the states, quote unquote, that would come together are all states that they operate in. And it's creating this divide. And so I think if you go back and you read the Alliance for Affordable Energy's letter that they just sent to regulators, I think they identify the problem correctly, that it's our responsibility. And I'm just hopeful that my colleagues on the city council and on the commission takes this lesson and says, we need to take transmission seriously. That does not negate, however, the communication failures from MISO and the utilities. It does not negate the failures of the generators. It does not negate the the confusing talking points, right? I was originally told that Riverbend had tripped, but it had been offline. There is some kind of he say, she say, because MISO can't tell us what generators were offline, only because that's against their federal tariff. But the utilities also don't want to tell us which of their generators were offline. So we're in this kind of battle of where was the power out? Why was it out? And the two players are saying, well, I can't tell you, ask the other one. So there's a lot of failures that we still have to fix. But I think, as I keep saying, had we been doing transmission over 20 years, all of those failures would have been obsolete because the system would have been able to import generation to keep it on. And so I'm trying to do a thorough investigation of saying, we got to talk about the immediate failures of MISO, Entergy, and Pluto on that Sunday, but we also got to talk about the failures of our lack of investment and our lack of accountability and regulation over the last 15 years that made this Cosmo toxic environment that allowed for a blackout of over 100,000 Louisianians on Memorial Day weekend.
If it's been a 15 to 20 year lack of attention to upgrading the transmission for CLECO, for Entergy, if we're talking 15 to 20 years where you say they should have been upgrading the capacity and they haven't been, all right, well, here we are now. What do we do about it now? And how long will it take to address this to a point where you think we will have significant transmission, enough transmission to handle another problem like we saw a week ago Sunday?
Well, it's going to take some time, but it starts now in building those transmissions, building the interconnections to the other regions. But there are also some immediate steps that we can do to curtail that. One of the things that we can do is we can really build demand response programs, which are programs that allow when there is a capacity crunch that you can adjust and close utilizing some of that power. Let's be very clear. We don't do curtailing with the industrial users. There is about 280 megawatts that was available to curtail from an industrial user that wasn't really using that capacity that could have prevented that. I want to remind everybody, the amount of megawatts we shut off in New Orleans alone was 209. So if we would have had our utilities asking our industrial users to say, hey, you don't need to run your plant fully right now. Can you save that off? We could have spared the entire city of New Orleans from having a blackout. That's something we can immediately do. We can also put some intermediate resources on that are not replacing generators. So I don't want anybody to think I'm saying let's go throw out all our gas generators and put battery and solar. But a four-hour battery was a length of time that the power was out. So that battery, while yes, it may not be able to provide 24-hour capacity to our homes, if we have significant battery storage in Louisiana, we could have shaved that off by tapping into those reserves and saying, well, this is probably going to be a 3 to 4 hour load shed. Let's use this battery to turn that transmission line off and do it. So while there are long-term investments, there are real short-term investments that we can do in demand response, building up battery storage and solar, but also curtailing our industrial and residential and commercial users to say, hey, we're gonna be able to take a transmission line down if it's a transmission issue, or we're going to be able to save some capacity issue by utilizing, say, you're not really using all this energy that you're utilizing right now. Let's close it off. So those are the short, long, and medium steps that we can take to ensure this doesn't happen again, but it requires the work of the commission and the city council to be aggressive on all of the policies to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Text message comes in on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line at 504-260-1870. Yeah, and consumers will foot the bill for the new transmission. I guess that's the way it has to be, but it sucks. So all of this that you're talking about, increasing solar, increasing battery power, and we're talking about massive batteries, not like batteries most people think of, but batteries that can actually keep the grid supplied, and increasing the connectivity of the grid, which really is not a grid. Obviously, it is pockets of power grids that are smaller than most of us think of it. When we think of a power grid, we think of a nationwide interconnected grid, and clearly we're learning that's not what we have right now, but to this person's text, all of these improvements you're talking about us needing, are we going to have to pay for that on our electrical bills?
Yes and no. So this is where we say the price trade-off. So what you would end up doing is, like, let's say if we upgraded the transmission system, yes, we would pay that in rates, but as, let's say, a gas generator comes offline, as some of them are getting to their age point, that means we may not need to build another generator that would also increase rates even further. So it's like you're, think about it like a scale. So if we start spending more on transmission, that means we need to spend less on generation, and you can either get it equal, or actually, in a lot of these cases, what we're seeing across the country is you get it cheaper. Like if you go to Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska this morning, and you look to see what their power generation was, about 60% of those states are being powered by wind and solar this morning. Why? Not because they gave up on gas or coal or nuclear. It's because at that moment in time, it was cheaper. So it saved them from having to build gas generators as big or use them as frequently, because they say, now I can expand the lifespan of that generator. I don't have to worry about reduction in cost. And so while there are costs associated, there's significant savings in doing some of these proactive measures.
Talking with Devante Lewis, Public Service Commissioner. So, yes, we'll pay on the front end to upgrade the system, but what we save on the back end, we'll balance it out, is what I'm hearing you saying. I look forward to 2 weeks from today, the Public Service Commission meeting, and I hope you bring that same passion there and try to convince your colleagues that you've got to put some pressure on the power companies, if indeed it really comes down to a lack of investment in transmission for the last 15 to 20 years, that is the core root problem. I sure hope you can force some change in that arena.
Hey, I'll commit. I think one thing people will say, I will not bring passion. If I get the vote, it's another story, but I'm going to bring the passion, and hopefully everyone else joins me with that passion so we can actually get some changes happening here in Louisiana.
Devante Lewis, thank you for your time today. We sure appreciate it here on WWL.
Anytime. Thank you.
What do you think? 504-260-1870. I'm hesitant to believe much of what we hear about this situation because everyone's got a different spin on it, a different take on it, and is pointing fingers in different directions. I don't know that that's all that different than most problems we face now in our society, but it's definitely the case. And I'm telling you, every time we hear from a regulator, from a power provider, from MISO, or from anybody else, we're hearing a different story about what the problem really is. We're hearing a different story about what caused the outage, and we're hearing different analysis about whether or not we're going to have to deal with this going forward. Was this the tip of the iceberg? Was this the first indication of a massive problem, or was this an isolated incident, and it was a perfect or imperfect storm, as you will, that all of these factors came together at the same time, and we had to turn off the electricity? I don't know. I know what I hear from different sources, but I don't know who's right and who's wrong. What do you think? 504-260-1870, and how confident are you that we'll have electricity that we can rely on going forward? Your calls and texts at 504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Coming up next, while we all do the electric slide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Together. I hope we get to keep on rocking down to Electric Avenue, but I'm not so sure now. And again, everyone has a different spin on this thing. Everyone has a different take on it. And there are a lot of opportunists who are using this to put forward political points that they've been making for many years, whether they're accurate or not. So it's tough to know what the real problem is. It's clear that there was a lack of electricity available in Southeast Louisiana to Greater New Orleans on that Sunday before Memorial Day. And it's clear that everyone's got a different take on what should have been done to prevent this from happening. And I prescribe if it's going to take an all of the above approach, fine. I don't care what it takes, but we cannot not know that we're going to have electricity. We cannot, in the heat of the summer, or any other time for that matter, but especially in the heat of the summer, not at least have an inkling if there's going to be a problem that's going to require us to lose our electricity. People require electricity for medical devices and purposes. People require electricity to keep critical infrastructure up and running. Getting a lot of texts about the gas and power plants and the refineries and others who lost electricity without warning and the dangers that that created. I just want to know that someone is not asleep at the switch, that someone who really cares and really understands it is doing what has to be done to make sure that we're not susceptible to this happening again, at least without warning. One person texts and says, so all the storm restoration charges that I keep getting on my bill and keep paying haven't been getting invested? Well, a storm restoration charge is just that. It's to get the system back to where it was before the storm. So if we're paying a Hurricane Ida restoration fee still, that's to pay for the cost that the power providers incurred to put the poles back up, to restring the lines, to get everything back to where it was, to restore it to pre-storm conditions. Now, we're also paying for upgrades now, many of us, on our bills. And in some communities, you're seeing that. They're hardening the system. They're replacing wooden poles with metal poles. They're making efforts to better protect the grid from storms, from animals, and from other things that can knock out the power. Somebody else says, this is pandering. This pandering populist is misleading your audience. There is no free utility lunch. We are the utility companies. To some extent, I think you're right. But remember, only part of Entergy and part of CLECO are regulated. What they do in the private sector selling their power to other providers is not regulated. So, yeah, these companies are making huge, huge profits. Some of that is off of the legally allowed profit margin that they can, under the control of the City Council and the Public Service Commission, make. They set a rate. You can make X percentage of profit. But the companies can make more profits outside of the areas in which they're regulated. But you're right. If we want to upgrade the system, if we want more power generation, if we want more power transmission options, if we want all of these things to protect the system, yeah, by law, they get to pass those costs on to us. So we are technically the investors, and I don't want to say owners, but yeah, it's on us. So we have to make those decisions through our regulators. Somebody else texted and says, Dave, maybe power companies would upgrade their transmission lines if they were required to give everyone who lost power a credit on their bills for the inconvenience they cause. Currently, the only break customers get is a lower bill because the meter doesn't run when the power is out. Yeah, I think penalties are always, you know, it's carrot and stick. I think that penalties are always one way to get what you want as a government regulating body. And if you do put these penalties in for above and beyond what they lost in sales of that electricity at that time, that could be one way to incentivize them to invest more of what they are profiting into making the system more resilient and addressing these shortcomings before they impact us individually. The whole thing sucks, but this is a reality in a capitalistic society. This is what we have in America. We have private companies that are regulated by the government that are awarded these monopolies, a lot of people are texting in that word, to be able to provide power to us and make money off of us, the consumers. And yeah, they can run their businesses to some extent as they see fit, but they're also regulated by the government. But then remember, it's politicians who are the regulators, and politicians have agendas, and politicians have different allegiances and answer to different interests, and they all have different ideas based on the political leanings of what the best way to do this all is. And we as the consumers, maybe we have to do a better job of knowing who we're electing to regulate the power companies to get what we want. Maybe we need to do more research into that. Back after this. I think there are good intentions through most of this. I think all the members of the Public Service Commission and the City Council want to do the right thing, and they all want to be reelected or elected to something else. I think Entergy absolutely, Clico absolutely wants to be a great customer service company and wants to do the best they can to serve us, the consumers. At the same time, Entergy also has to answer to its shareholders because it's publicly traded and Clico is privately held. And the company that owns Clico has to make a profit or they can't stay in business. So you got to balance all of this stuff. And neither Entergy nor Clico want to turn the power off ever, because then that reflects badly on them and they lose money. We got to find a way, though, that everybody can win here, that we reduce the risk of outages and the companies thrive. 2 weeks from today, we'll see.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.